Hey, good morning, everybody. Shukrah for coming out. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's hard to believe it's the day before the biggest day of our lives. And why do I say that? Because until today, until tomorrow, everything was decided already. But everything could change tomorrow. You know, best term, we hope for the best. And we're going to be on the stand. We're going to be in Hashem's court. And he's going to decide the coming year. And obviously, what's decided tomorrow will have a direct influence on next year. And obviously, whatever happens next year is going to have a direct influence on our lives. Ad me'av esm shana. Usually, this shmooze, I say over different etzos lezakos bedin, different pieces of advice, bizoche and din, but I'm going to try to do something a little bit different. Last night, somebody told me he heard an amazing story over Shabbos. And he said it's in Al English Shabbat. I brought down by Rav Silberstein, and it happens to be over the summer. Somebody gave me the English. The truth is, in Hebrew, I'm missing this chelik. I only have missing Devarim Beis. I only have Devarim Aleph. And I have it in English. So I'm going to read some excerpts. I'm going to read the story. I'm going to tell you the story and try to bring home the point and how it relates to us. This is a true story. It was told over to Rav Silberstein by a prominent Talmud Chacham in Beitar. It's about a boy, a young man named Meshulam. Now, Meshulam was grew up in New York. He went to Cheder, and he was a very promising young man. He was very frum. He was great. But at the age of 17, unfortunately, his mother passed away. And from then on, he started having difficulties in his life in Ruchnius. And he came to his father, and he told his father that he's going to India. His father said, "Why on earth are you going to India?" He said, "There's nothing to discuss. I'm going. I already paid for the ticket, and I'm going." Meshulam's father was heartbroken, and his anguish over Meshulam's spiritual deterioration compounded the grief he felt over the loss of his wife. She would have known how to speak to Meshulam and convince him out of this, he thought. "Meshulam, what does a frum bachur have to do in India? Do you think I'm still frum? I'm looking to find meaning in life elsewhere." "I hope you'll forgive me," said Meshulam to his father. His father's face reddened in fury. "Forgive you? After everything I did for you, after the chinuch that your mother worked so hard to give you? That's your way of saying thank you?" "From now on," said the father, "I don't want to have anything to do with you. If you're throwing away everything in the life that's important to a Jew, you're no longer my son. I will never forgive you." The last words Meshulam heard from his father. 3 years had passed. Meshulam was having a great time in India, doing whatever he wanted. And every so often he tried to call his father, and he tried to send him letters, but no response. One day, Meshulam was traveling through a city in India and shopping at a local market. He met an old friend from New York who had been in Cheder with him. The two enjoyed a warm reunion, reminiscing about the old times and exchanging experiences. At some point during the conversation, the friend's face took a serious expression. He said, "Meshulam, I'm very sorry about your father." "My father? What happened to him? You mean you don't know? Your father died of a heart attack 6 months after you left. They say that he died of a broken heart because you left him and traveled to India. You didn't know?" Meshulam felt as though he had been stabbed in his heart. From that time, something changed. He couldn't stop crying. Finally, he decided to go to Eretz Yisrael to daven. His friends made fun of him. When he landed in Eretz Yisrael, he went straight to the Kosel. On his way, he began to wonder whether he was even worthy to daven at the Kosel, after having abandoned Judaism and having caused his father to die of a broken heart. Haltingly and with deep emotion, he approached the weathered stones of the Kosel. He placed his hand upon the stones, and his tears blended into the many other tears that had soaked the closest stones before. He cried for his past, for his present, and for his uncertain future. Most of all, he cried for having caused his father such pain. How could he ever find forgiveness for his sins? How could he ever forgive himself? His tears flowed unrelentingly. A person standing near him took note of his distress and suggested that he write what was bothering him on a note. "Ekvitel!" and placed it between the stones of the kosel. Meshulam liked the idea. He wrote the following: "Father, I am here in the holy city of Yerushalayim at the kosel of Ma'aravi. If your soul sees me from on high, I ask you to please forgive me. I did not mean to hurt you. It was only my evil inclination that made me act so foolishly. I promise you that I will do complete tshuva. And from now on, I will follow the path that you and my mother taught me. Father, can you forgive me? Your son, Meshulam." A fresh wave of tears cascaded down Meshulam's face as he slipped the note into a crack in the kosel. But he did not feel but he did feel much better now. The note fell to the floor, however. And when Meshulam picked it up and tried to put it back into the kosel, it fell down again. As much as he tried to get the note to stay wedged inside the kosel, it would not remain in place. Rishon was deeply distressed by what he saw as heaven's refusal to accept his tshuva. Again, despair swept over him. In a last-ditch effort, he decided to try to insert the note between the next layer of stones in the kaisel. He climbed onto a chair and pushed the note deep between the stones. This time, to his relief, the stone remained in its place. But another note that had been wedged in the same place fell out just as Meshulam was placing his own note there. He picked up the other note to put it back into the kaisel, and to his shock, he saw the word Meshulam was written on the outside of the note. He took a closer look at the note and he realized the handwriting was familiar. That was his father. That was the way his father had always written his name. With trembling hands, he opened the note, which was already tattered and yellowing. These were the words he read inside. Ribbono Shalom, have pity on my Meshulam ben Rivka, my young son who traveled to India 2 months ago. Watch over him so that he remain a faithful Jew and forgive him for all his sins. If I could, I would tell him, my Meshulam, I love you, and I forgive you for everything you did to me. It is true that when we parted, I was very angry at you, and I said that I would never forgive you. But you should know, my dear son, that I have changed my mind, and I do forgive you. I hope and pray to our Father in heaven that He forgive you as well, and draw you back to Him in a complete tshuva. I hope that when the day comes, you will marry a God-fearing Jewish girl, and you will merit to raise holy, pure children to a life of Torah mitzvahs. Your father who loves you dearly, Yaakov ben Sarah. Now the floodgates opened in Meshulam's heart, and he cried his heart out, like a young child. When he left the kosel several hours later, he was a complete Baal Tshuva. Today he has 4 beautiful children who are following the ways of Torah. Quite a powerful story. And the Hashgacha Pratis, obviously, and the pain. And I think that there's also an Imshel. It's also something we could all learn from it. And Baruch Hashem, we're all not where Meshulam was in life. But we all have things that we struggle with. We all have things that we're not doing as best as we can with. But we think that we're so lost. We can't make our way back to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, our Father in Heaven. Right? Even in small things, there's certain ways, in certain senses, certain aspects of our Avodas Hashem, in certain aspects of our life, we also run away to India. We also leave our Kaddish Baruch Hu, whether it's in our Ben Elam Makom, in our Ben Elam Chavero, in so many different areas. But I think this story shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, the Meshulam's father was always, as intense as the pain was, as difficult as it was to see his son go leave him, for, in many senses, leave the Ruchnius, leave him physically and leave him spiritually, he was always longing for him to return. And I think that's a very, very powerful message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Avrahman. We say it every single day. Just another you showed, by the way. When we go into Rosh Hashanah, there's so many different parts of davening, and we say every day, and we just bulldoze right over them. We say in Avraham, Avinu Avrahamon. You are Father, the Father of all mercy. Not Stam. Like, yeah, Baruch Hashem, our parents, our fathers, and I can tell as a parent, you have tons of mercy for your children, no question about it. But he's Avinu Avrahamon. He's also Avinu, he's also Malkeinu. These Yisodos are supposed to become so entrenched in our hearts and in our minds, in our Neshama, over Rosh Hashanah, that should last the whole year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Avrahamon. He's like Meshulam's father, no matter how far we stray. And Baruch Hashem, look around the room, and Rabbi said we didn't stray that much, Baruch Hashem, at all. But perhaps in small nekudos that we were trying to work on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's like writing that letter also to us. He's telling us, whatever your name is, he's talking to you straight. He's saying, my dear son, my dear child, we're a ben yachid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard many a few months ago, I guess, like the statistics. How many people understand what? How many Jews are in the world? Very few, relatively speaking. How many know that they're Jewish? How many understand what Hashem is? How many understand what Rosh Hashanah is? You guys are the mamas, like the princes. You're in Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh, in the holy city, right? You're in a yeshiva learning Torah. You know what's good. You guys are the ambassadors. You guys are representatives of Klal Yisrael. The truth is, I saw it in the notes on Rosh Hashanah from the Rabbi Meshul. I think it's quoted in Ron Lieb Steinman, Zatzal, that we're really the representatives of world Jewry, of the world. You walk around, just now as I was driving here, I saw a guy without a kippah, like pushing a stroller. Like, does he know what's going on tomorrow? Does he know he's going to be in shul? I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he just doesn't wear a yarmulke. Maybe he's going to be in shul. But whether he does or he doesn't, we know. We're mamish, we're the ones who are representing Kal Yisrael. And I think I read this in his notes also, that, and I was listening to a shir from one of my friends as well. We have the opportunity, again, we know the Gemara tells us, based on our Rambam Avinu, call Mispalach Haveru Hu Nena Tzchila. Anybody who davens for his friend, he'll be answered first. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was quoting Rabbi Leib Shneiman. We can daven for anybody who's in pain. We can daven for the whole Klai Yisrael to have parnasa. We can daven for the whole Klai Yisrael to have healthy, to be healthy, to have children, to find shiduchim. We have the power. Of course, we have to daven, according to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, for ourselves as well. Just to speak out a little bit something about that nekuda. It's a very interesting machlokes, right? Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner quotes Zohar. They're not supposed to make personal bakashas. We're only supposed to focus on being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you're the melech. Whatever, we just want to be constituents. We just want to be members of your kingdom. We want to incarnate you as king. What are we? Nothing. We just want to say, you're the king, you're the king, you're the king. That's one mahalach. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says in our generation, that what the Zohar was saying was previous generations. Our generations, a person's chayav, obligated to daven for himself. And why? Because if a person really, because we're not on the Madrega to just daven, say Hashem, you're the king, and if a person really believes what's going on tomorrow, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us on Tezayin Amaveis, Kol Shana Sherosh B'Tchilosa, any year that starts off with poverty, Mis Asheres B'Sofa, will be wealthy in the end. What does it mean? As Rashi points out, Tachnunim Yidave Rosh. Somebody who's really poor, who needs everything and anything in his life, he has pashut nothing, he has no bread to eat, so of course he begs and he cries for his existence. That's the way a person has to approach Rosh Hashanah. Everything has to be regiven. We're mamish poor. And says Rosh Salanter, if a person really realizes what's going on in Rosh Hashanah, he's obligated. He's obligated to ask Hashem. Now, I want to say something. I'm not sure if it's true, but I think this. I can relate to this, and I hope I can give it over to you. Perhaps the idea of, oh yeah, I need Hashem, you know, my life is a little, you know, can I get a promotion in my job? Can I get, you know, can I get a few thousand dollars extra in my salary? You know, can things work out a little bit better on my commute to work or whatever it is? Can, you know, my relationship with, you know, with this family member, that family member be a little bit better? So perhaps maybe that's wrong. And I'll explain why. What's the pshat? Because who said you're even living? Meaning, I think the idea is, perhaps, one of the messages is that for us to ask for like the extras is sort of ignoring the fact that everything we have, the fact that we can see, we're pokeach ivrim, right? We're zeigiv tfu, we can walk. We can actually walk with our feet. All those things, don't take those for granted. Meaning, it's a little bit ridiculous, so to speak, to ask for all these great things, all these extras that we want, when we should not feel guaranteed that we're getting the basics. Now, obviously, it's very hard to internalize this. Why? Because statistically speaking, most people that go into Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, on Wednesday, they'll come out of Rosh Hashanah, 99.9%, perhaps even more than that, will have what they went in with. But if we are true to what our Vesorah is, and the reality is, that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to re-give us everything? So how can we not beg for everything? And that's something that we have to realize. We have to focus. And we have to focus that we ourselves, I made a cheshbon that I heard recently, no guess, something medical, that the average amount of breaths a person takes in a minute is around 15. It said that the thing I looked up on the website was 12, between 12 and 20. Just take 15. 15 breaths a minute. That's 60 minutes in an hour, times 24 hours, times 380 days, which last year, because it was a leap year, it was about 380 days, is 8,200,000. And we say, I'll call Neshima v'Neshima Talalka, and every single breath we take, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can you imagine? Hashem gave us, besides the fact that we were able to function, just the breathing part, Hashem granted us 8,200,000 breaths last year. That being said, a person comes to Rosh Hashanah, obviously we have needs. We need to continue to live. We need to continue to function. We need to continue to have family and friends and opportunities and growth, etc., etc. But also the first moment when you hear the chazan say, how can a person not be overcome with tremendous hakaras hatov? How can we stand before Hashem and melech, 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 and say, you know what? I recognize what's happening this Rosh Hashanah. What about last Rosh Hashanah? You know what? It was decided, no matter how challenging, maybe people had challenges or difficulties last year, and we know, unfortunately, there were many tragedies. I was just going through my head. There were. But Lamaisa, we're all here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted each and every one of us last Rosh Hashanah, the rest of the day, 8,200,000 breaths. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you. I recognize what you gave me last Rosh Hashanah. And please, Hashem, this Rosh Hashanah, help me. Help my family. Help all of Klai Yisrael. Daven. Everybody, the entire world, as we saw in the davening, is about being Mamach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only on ourselves, on our families, our communities, on Klai Yisrael, on the Jewish people. We should daven. Also, I think I either read it or heard it. You know, I can be moved to tears. I know this is somebody I know from family, and their child is totally, totally off. He's got Nebuch. He has tattoos, and he's mamish. He's finished. It's terrible. It breaks the heart. Cry over these things. Cry over these things. Daven for other people. Daven for Klal Yisrael as a whole. We're not, right, as it says, B'Yisasev Rosh Ha'am. Rashi says, we're united. We're not one. Just because, you know, we're doing well, daven for our chaverim that are having difficulties in their ruchnias or in their gashmias. Daven for other people. And not just, of course, because it's called Mispala Achavero, Hunenet Techil. Not just because if you daven for others, you get answered first. Because we are one. We're all part of Klal Yisrael. And that's the idea, Ein Melech B'lo Am. There's no such thing as a king without a nation. It's not enough to be, oh, Hashem, you know, you're the king. I hold you. You know, I'm screaming out, you're the king, you're the king. We have to be part of it, Tzibur. And that's why I always often say that whatever you do, try to just melt and gel into the Tzibur. You don't want to, even if you're a little bit, perhaps, again, I'm talking to the serious Shana Bet Chever over here. I'm sure nobody's bored and going to disturb during davening. But that's like the worst thing you can do, the worst. Why? Because you need to be as much as possible as part of the Tzibur. And I also heard on a shiur in the name of Moshe Aaron Stern Zatzel, the great Mashkiach of Kamenetz. He said, in Aseres Mitzvah, Dir Shu Hashem Bimatzu Behosu Karov. Right? When is Hashem the closest? During Aseres Mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Aseres Mitzvah, which means the tefillah of every single person is like tefillah of a tzibur. And what we know, what a tzibur can accomplish. The kohos, we have that during these 10 days. And of course, as I said a second ago, Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Aseres Mitzvah. Rabbi, I don't know how to impress upon you the power and the severity and the seriousness of these next 2 days. At the same time, as serious as it is and how intense as it is, there has to be simcha. We're not allowed to be misabel. We're not allowed to fast. According to some, we're not allowed to cry. Although others say we should cry. The yisod is that we have to be simcha. Why? Because we are princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're bonim atem l'Hashem. Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. That's what we say after Tekiyah Shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were children. And just as we saw in that story, but Mishlomo's father, all he wanted, as intensely angry as he was when he made a terrible mistake and left him, soon afterwards, all he wanted was him to come back. And that's the kind of love, and that's the simcha that a person should feel in Rosh Hashanah. So on the one hand, he has to feel this intensity of the gravity of what's going on, but mitzad sheni, he has to feel the tremendous closeness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and feel that. Why? Because you're dafka, you are of the percentage in the world, I don't know, it's point, I don't know, 0.005%, I don't know what percentage of the world knows what Rosh Hashanah is, knows what it means to learn Torah, knows what it means to really connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're mamish in the minority, we are the ones. And first of all, it's another thing to say thank you to Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, we actually know what's flying compared to the rest of the world is running around and figuring it out. I was listening today, just on the radio, just the Yisod, I seen like, and they said that the Israeli government is sitting down and trying to figure out, like, you know, if they can, you know, form a government. I'm like, how could they, who has time on Erev Rosh Hashanah to try to figure these things out? Like, what's the pshat? Again, I'm sure there are some from people there, but I'm saying, like, who can waste time? It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Who can waste time on, it's not so idle, but I'm sure that if they really wanted to, they could push it off till, you know, Tom Gedalia. I'm sure they'll survive, but that's not the point. The point is that, for both sides, we have to take advantage of these hours, these days, and really feel the seriousness of it, but at the same time also feel the simcha and the closeness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless each and every one of us, our families, our communities, and all of Klal Yisrael to a kesiv v'chassim tova, a year filled with bracha and hatzlocha in our ruchnis and gashmis, which v'zocha v'tzimach Hashem should be melech al kol haaretz, v'yoh Hashem melech al kol haaretz, v'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad, v'shemo echad.